It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here in studio today, and we have a wonderful guest for our audience. And our topic for today is, what is the hot trend in business? And our guest is Mila Diamond, business coach and corporate trainer. And she's going to share some new strategies that successful companies are introducing to reinvent their workplace culture in an attempt to boost performance and profitability. The question is your business maximizing its potential, or are you leaving money on the table? She says that leading businesses across the U.S. and Europe are pioneering this surprising approach to increase their productivity and innovation. And some of the things that you're going to take away from this conversation are how to tap into your potential profitability, how to engage your team and increase productivity and innovation, and the latest techniques the trailblazing companies are utilizing to attract and retain the best talent. Big promises, easy for her to deliver today. Mila, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And I want to sort of break trend here before I start asking you some questions. I want to give our audience a little background. Mila has an amazing background that I would be remiss if I didn't share it with you. She has overcome some major obstacles in her life, and she is just a person to be admired. You know, as a child, she grew up in Moscow, the former Soviet Union, and she researched science and philosophy to answer her life's biggest questions as a child. Her big question, because due to a serious illness, she lived the greater part of her childhood in hospitals. At the age of 12, despite emphatic opposition from her doctors, Mila put her foot down and refused to spend another day in the hospital. She had other plans for her life, plans like becoming a competitive figure skater and a professional dancer, both of which she accomplished. At the age of 26, she overcame major obstacles with the help of an underground organization. She was able to escape ethnic persecution and immigrate to the United States. As a new refugee, a single parent, and with very limited knowledge of English, she was faced with a new set of challenges. This is when she met a mentor who armed her with knowledge and business strategies. This allowed her to accelerate her learning process, and with her will to succeed, she once again pushed through and built a successful information technology consulting company in New York. Eventually, Mila's childhood health challenges caught up with her. After healing from a major open back surgery, including 6 months in a body cast, ouch.
Yes.
She bounced back and went to study martial arts, earning a brown belt in full contact Japanese karate. Later, she pursued her passion for scuba diving, earned a rescue scuba dive certification. She's a professional underwater photographer with her work installed at the Ratty Children's Hospital in San Diego and private homes. Today, she's an inspirational speaker and trainer for youth organizations and high-tech executives and associations, along with development and sales teams across the United States and Canada. She motivates and fires up her audience. She engages people in stories and links the principles to everyday situations. She teaches from the heart and accepts no less than the best from each client, helping them to permanently break through limitations and achieve amazing results. As if that wasn't enough, in 2013, she was named one of the world's 100 best speakers by Toastmasters International. Mila, those are amazing accomplishments.
Thank you so much, Doug. When you take kind of gems from your life and put them all together, they assemble in a kind of a string, but during the life, there are so much hardships. So sometimes I think it's important to even look at your life and pick those successes, because sometimes when it's so hard, it's hard to remember that you have accomplished something. So it doesn't matter how much you have accomplished something when you go through a hard time. Sometimes you're like under a dark cloud, and it's very difficult to remember that there were better times. and you could succeed, and you actually did succeed. So it's good to remember, to remind yourself that you could do that.
And if I forget what I've done, which is nothing in comparison to what you've done, I'll look at what you've done and take some inspiration from that. No, I think you're absolutely right. We spend too little time celebrating our own successes. And that kind of celebration, acknowledgement of self, helps us get through the next challenge that we're going to face.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, look, tell us a little bit about your business experience prior to what you're doing now.
I came to United States, as you said, with very limited knowledge of English. So I could not use my skills that I have developed in Moscow in architecture design. So looking at my options without English, without being able to bring my portfolio with me, because former Soviet government did everything possible to make it difficult for people to succeed in the West, so they didn't allow me to bring my art portfolio with me, I had to start over. And I went through 4 years of struggles where I didn't know what to do. I didn't speak English. I didn't understand anybody. I was like stumbling around like I was in a silent movie. And then I have met a mentor who suggested that I would try computer science, because computer science is unique in a sense that it's not just pure logic. It's not just linear logic. It's very intuitive. In fact, it's more like an art. And I got training in programming and in systems design and architecture. And it truly was very fulfilling. I was working with Fortune 500 companies in New York and Chicago, Salomon Brothers, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Chase, companies, Board of Trade, Options Clearing Corporations, and I had a blast.
Wow, that's a competitive marketplace.
Yes, it is competitive.
For anybody.
But the way I approached my career was differently than I suspect a lot of people approach their careers. And I don't think it is limited to computer science. I think it's in anything that you choose as your career. If you can look at it as a way to unfold, as a way to grow, because we spend too many hours a day in our careers. So if we look at it only as a means of earning a paycheck and paying the rent and looking forward to the weekend when we can actually do the fun thing, then we're missing most of life. So the way my mentor taught me was to use career as a way of developing my mind and grow internally, like personal growth could be achieved through career. So while it was competitive, I had a lot of fun, and I saw that there was so much to do. I worked, like I said, in systems architecture and design, and helped companies to move from conventional systems to client server and networks and object technologies that at the time was just coming and blooming. So it was kind of bleeding edge technology. Yeah. And it required a lot of cultural change. So from systems architecture and project lead, I moved more into consultant, like management consultant, helping companies to migrate. And so I saw a lot of issues, cultural issues, that holds people back individually and holds companies back from achieving their potential, truly succeeding in the marketplace.
I can see what you're saying. I mean, the statistics I've read show that the untapped potential of our current workforce is huge.
Huge, absolutely.
We don't need more people. We need to find a way to get more out of the people we have.
Exactly, Doug. You are absolutely correct. There was this very distinguished computer scientist. His name is Barry Bohm, and he did extensive study on increasing productivity and how productivity in software development that was in his field would result in increased revenue. And the findings were absolutely staggering. I'm using computer science field, but it's really applicable to all kinds of businesses. For example, did you know that the total sales of software products in 2013 was $407.3 billion globally?
I can't even imagine that number.
Can't comprehend it. And did you know that only 20% of improvement in software productivity would increase that revenue by 97%, which is almost double?
Wow.
Which means it would be worth the additional nearly $405 billion. This is how much we leave on the table by not addressing productivity for ourselves and also for our employees, for our workforce.
And what I hear you saying, and I may be jumping ahead, so stop, but what I hear you saying is when you're talking about increasing productivity, you're not talking about driving people into working harder. Because when I tie that with your statement about the fact that we should be looking at career as a joyful thing, as a major part of our life, then if we are looking at it as an opportunity, then productivity naturally follows.
Exactly.
Am I getting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, normally what I have seen, you know, through my friends, colleagues, managers and CEOs that I have observed, smartest people probably on the planet, one biggest complaint that they have, kind of in private, is that even though they're so successful and so accomplished in their field, most of the time they feel like they live in this dark cloud of feeling like they're trying to move through the heavy waters, that they're really not utilizing all of their energy, like they're spending a lot of time, a lot of energy of just trying to clear themselves. So there are some moments of clarity where they become super productive, super effective, but the rest of the time they kind of succumb back to that cloud. And what I found, the reason it resonated with me, because that was exactly how I felt. People told me, you're smart, you know, and it's like, you have no idea how much struggle I have to stay clear. And that changed when I learned techniques of special focused meditation that helped me to clear my mind. And it truly opened the passages to internal energy to flow. It kind of put all the imagined limitations I had about myself, which at the time I didn't think they were imagined, I thought that they were real, but they kind of crumbled. And I could operate from a completely different level.
You know, what's funny for me is listening to you here with this excitement about your career, this excitement about what you do, this attitude still, after years of experience, that anything's possible and that you can do it. You don't hear that all the time. You know, I had the opportunity earlier this week I was invited to go to Vanguard University and to meet with some students that were juniors and seniors looking at a career day to expose them to businessmen and give them a perspective of what it's going to be like when they leave school. And they had this kind of attitude that you're talking about. You know, it was still fresh and
yes.
New, so exciting. Anything was possible.
Yes.
And yet we've both seen that disappears so quickly after people get in the workplace.
Absolutely. Because that routine, it really gets to it. And what we need to do to counteract it, we need to have a different routine of our own inner life. that creates that energy and clarity and gives meaning to our life. Life really doesn't have a meaning unless we give it to it.
It sounds like we're now at the point where, tell us about what you do. What is your business? What do you do for people? Who do you do it for? And then we can get into how you do it.
Sure. Well, I told you how productivity, even just 20%, can create such incredible results in positive cash flow and increasing companies' revenues.
Yes.
So the program that we have, my company, Diamond Mind, Diamond Mind International.
And you're going to explain that name.
I will explain that. What we have is a program that will increase yours and your employees' productivity, not just by 20%, but magnitudes of times. And these are not just empty promises. It happens consistently. It happened for me. It happened for people who were my friends who were using some of these techniques, and it happens to my coaching clients. It happens to anybody who is truly committed to give it a good try.
Boy, you've got my attention. A 20% increase with existing resources, my existing limited or existing
yes.
capabilities is huge.
It's huge.
And you're saying even more.
Much more so. Not only that, instead of being more stressed out and more busy, people will feel more relaxed, less stressed. They will be in better mood, and they will work better with each other. Their emotional and social intelligence will increase.
Okay. So, in fact, is the drive by removing stress, removing these anxieties, that is what increases the productivity?
That is part of it, but it is it's certainly part of it. For example, there are large companies, like you have mentioned, those tribalizing companies like Google, Yahoo, NASA, Apple, they are using relaxation and mindfulness meditation techniques that helps their employees to increase their productivity by reducing stress. What we are doing is even better.
Okay.
Even better. What we teach is a special form of focused meditation. Focused meditation that increases your ability to one-pointedly concentrate on anything you choose. And your energy, internal energy, is released. So whatever benefits of traditional relaxing meditation gives you, it is by far even more powerful.
So you're talking about, forgive me, but so I get it straight in my mind, you're talking about not just relaxation in the sense I can go into a dark room and sit in a recliner and come out less stressed, but you're talking about the ability to focus totally without distraction on what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you learn to do that, it would feel like all your circuits are on. And in fact, they will be. It's like your brain suddenly operates at much fuller capacity. The name Diamond Mind,
yes.
the name of my company, is it refers to the mind that is so clear, so sharp, so polished, that it's like a perfectly cut diamond. But it's so resilient, because there is no substance almost as hard as diamond. So it's not only clear, it's not only perceiving life directly, it also transmits light.
Help me with I'm having trouble with the context of the two words, focused meditation. Focus
yes.
sounds like energy to me.
Yes.
And meditation sounds like the opposite.
Yes, I understand. Because of the way meditative practices just have so many dimensions, and there are so many ways that people talk about meditation. So meditative practice, the way we teach it, has several phases. Think of that meditation is like you're in outer space, like you're a spaceship in the outer space. And you're in complete vacuum, yet you're in surrounded by beauty. You're surrounded by emptiness that are also filled with energy and light. But how can you get your rocket into the space? You first need to fire those rockets from the ground, right?
Right.
You have to burn through the atmosphere. You have to break away from the gravitational pull of the Earth.
So a lot of energy expended to that.
A lot of energy is expended to that. If you don't have that energy, you're going to be coasting here on the ground. You will never get off the ground. The same with meditation. Most people, a lot of people, when they're just relaxing, they're just kind of taking a break. It's almost like a sleep.
Yeah.
It is very different from the type of meditation that I'm talking about. I'm talking about concentrating and solidifying and collecting all the energy that you possibly have. And it also develops that the mind is like a muscle. The more you practice to concentrate, the better you get. So it's a skill that you develop with practice, just understanding it. Oh, I understand it intellectually. It's not going to change anything.
Right.
But knowing how to concentrate, how to focus, will unleash internal energy within you that you are probably not aware of that is there. You know, there is untapped resource of internal energy within each one of us. Think of it as like each one of us has a bank account that we didn't know about.
I like that idea.
Yes. And even if you do know about it, you don't have a key to it. But think of the situations, the life-threatening situations that people occasionally experience. You probably heard in the news where 80-year-old grandmother was able to lift the car several inches off the ground
to free her
grandchild.
Yes.
She has no muscle power to do that physically. It's impossible. There were stories of soldiers leaping, like truly breaking world records to save their friends from the life-threatening situations. They couldn't do it just by using their physical energy. So there is something inside of us, the energy, the special energy, internal energy, that is reserved for very special situations. So we really never access it. It's kind of stored there and it's never accessed. The form of meditation that I'm teaching and the form of meditation that I've been taught, and that's what I'm teaching in these workshops and in programs, is tapping into that little energy, that nuclear energy within each one of us. And there is a way to tap into it consciously. And that energy allows us to concentrate even better. So the more we practice these forms of concentration, the more that energy comes in, the more it flows, the easier it is to focus. So you get your rocket off the ground, and once you're in space, you could shut off your rockets. At that point, you reach that state of perfect, silent, peaceful meditation, but you're not just sitting on the ground doing that. You're actually in that inner space of pure light, pure energy. It's indescribable with words.
Well, I'm glad you explained that, because that really helps. I mean, my preconceived definition of meditation is semi-asleep.
Yes.
You know, and that's not what you're talking about at all.
Not at all.
And like you, I've heard of and seen examples of people doing things they couldn't normally do when truly challenged, usually life-threatening situations for them or somebody else. And you're talking about tapping into that.
Absolutely. Yes, it's a force within each one of us. Like internally, we're already geniuses, but it's all been conditioned and blocked by society, by culture, by the way we've been raised. Nothing bad about it. We function the way as good as we function, as well as we function right now. But at the same time, it limits us. It limits us. Just to give you an idea, when I started meditating at that time, I still didn't speak English. And I was already in the United States almost for 4 years, like three and a half, between 3.5 and 4 years. When I started doing this form of meditation, it's kind of like as if by magic, but of course not by magic. I definitely burned it. I focused, I practiced very hard. Within 6 months, I could understand English better and I could speak more and more fluently. It really, within 6 months, I was able to go through the computer school here in English.
Wow.
And you know, when I started, one of the teachers told me, "Mila, you look like a smart girl. How come you don't speak?" To him, somebody doesn't speak English, it's like you don't speak at all.
Oh boy.
By the time I graduated, I was fluent. And it has nothing to do with computer school. It has to do with the practice that I was doing in the mornings and in the evenings, which is this form of meditation. And what I have seen, that this particular form of meditation is specifically helpful for people who are very ambitious in their career and in their business. And I will tell you why. Normally, if you have that much energy within you, when you tap into that potential within you, and you have that much energy flowing through you, if you have nothing to really put it into, something very challenging, you're going to be bouncing off the walls.
Sure.
It's like a hyperactive child. These children need more challenge. They don't need somebody to calm them down. They need to give them a project. So with this much energy, this particular form of meditation helps very challenging careers, like careers in technology, in electronics, computer science, like careers in medicine, careers in law, careers in artistic pursuit, in fine performance arts, when you can really take all that energy, put it into your creativity, but not in a kind of layback fashion, but make it truly successful in a world where it requires you to be grounded. And it's interesting that a lot of people think in order to develop, like in order to do personal growth, they somehow need to leave careers behind.
Right.
It's actually the opposite. Because by being grounded, it gives you a very good judging, kind of like a tuning fork. It tells you where you're off. The more you ground yourself, the better you are equipped to go even become more creative and more successful. And the better you meditate, the more you need to be grounded, because a lot of energy requires a lot of grounding. Just think of the boat. Like if you're on the high seas and there is a boat and there is a lot of waves and it's like 8 foot waves there,
okay,
right? The little boat is going to collapse unless it has really deep keel.
Right.
So the higher you have, the higher your sail is, the deeper you need to have the keel in order to keep afloat, in order to stay in balance. So careers and business give us that kind of a challenge.
Okay, so we're going to take a break here for a minute, and then now we've got everybody wound up. We're going to come back and talk about this some more, how you really apply this in businesses and in your coaching. Okay.
Yeah. This holiday, there's the kind of gift card you give out, then there's the kind of gift card that gives back. With 1OZ's charitable giving cards, your company can give the gift of giving to employees, clients, friends, anyone you like. They, in turn, can use the card to make a donation to any local or national 501c3 charity of choice, while your company enjoys a tax deduction. Doing good is in the cards. 1OZ Charitable Giving Cards. Call 714-953-5757 or visit 1oz.org.
And now back to Doug and his guest.
And we're back, and we're talking with Mila Diamond, and she's got me hardly, well, let's say, I was going to say bouncing out of my chair, but that's not right. I need to be focused, grounded here. Mila, this is fascinating stuff. Give us a little bit of how do you apply this concept in a business environment? What is, you have a program with multiple steps or phases to it. What do you do? What is the sort of process that you go through, and what are the some of the results that you've achieved with your clients?
Sure. Well, our program, Diamond Mind Training, it has four main modules, like four dimensions. One dimension is what we talked about, which is focused meditation that teaches concentration and unlocking your internal energy. The second module has to do with mindfulness. And mindfulness is how we apply this form of concentration, this ability and this energy to your careers. So we're talking about how do you employ it in your daily tasks at work. For example, you have a challenge of designing a new system, a new software systems, or a new, you're doing a new medical research and you're trying to figure out a solution that is outside the box.
Okay.
So instead of trying to follow your logical thinking, which logical is just very simple, it's two-dimensional, it's very slow processing. But when you're able to put yourself in that meditative state through concentration, you will be able to see, you will develop intuition that is much deeper than just analytical processing. For example, when I was working as a management consultant and as a systems analyst, when I would be invited in to troubleshoot very complex systems in financial back office systems, they are horrendous. Like if you try to find a problem in that huge systems with literally hundreds of millions of lines of code,
okay,
it is impossible to do that logically. So what I did in my interviews when I worked with the clients, they would invite me for an interview to see if I would be the right consultant. I would ask them, tell me about your problem. And as they were describing their problem, I would automatically go in that meditative state. And I was able to navigate through the questions intuitively, just to the problem, usually within 30 minutes.
Okay.
I was hired usually on the spot, because that kind of analysis usually takes months and months and months to find and try to logically create programs that would pinpoint the particular problem. But when you're using the mind that's outside of the logical mind, it's almost like you have an access to direct knowledge about a state of something. So regardless of what your career might be, regardless of what kind of business you're in, if you have that skill, you will be able to perform much better. So that's why we come talking about productivity here.
Yeah, that got my attention.
Magnitude. And I had clients who started from very basic, sometimes barely junior positions, but because we were working together, they were able to jump career levels so fast they were able to, let's say, for somebody who was making $26,000 a year to start with, within a year and a half, making over $100 an hour as a consultant on Wall Street.
Wow.
In computer science. Mm-hmm. That's how fast the brain can learn. So that is a mindfulness. How do you apply this knowledge? The other module that I'm working with closely is social and emotional intelligence. When you understand yourself, it's easier to understand the other people. But there are also special exercises, special practices that I use. You know, one of the things I've done in Moscow as a fun for me, and it was actually very transformative, I took acting. I studied acting, and part of that training was improv. Improv was very liberating. You couldn't prepare, you couldn't read from the script. You had to create a scene with your partners, with your other actors on stage, on the spot. So that was an interesting concept. And I find that when people working in teams, everybody has a script. Everybody kind of has a script running in their mind, and everybody has an agenda. But what I see right now with very successful companies, people who take that change in culture and truly employ it, I see that they work together as teams. They co-create together. And that I see a lot of it in companies that with a lot of millennials, with younger generation. They are much more connected with each other. You know, the Facebook, the social media, right. Everybody is connected. And they work together as a team much better. I think that they are less individually competitive. They are more team focused. So what I do in social and emotional intelligence, because at the same time this computer age disconnected people somewhat,
yes,
I use improv techniques and improv games to teach team dynamics. And we just play. And through that play, through these games, people build teams. So Diamond Mind training is not just meditation. It's taking meditation, this focused, powerful meditation, using mindfulness to actually implement it in your career and in your business. Then using, you say you take this aware people and you put them together in a team and you teach them to co-create together. So you take this evolved, intelligent minds and start to create together, so it adds so many more dimensions. Somewhere I read recently there was a study that when people have high emotional IQ, not just mental IQ, but emotional IQ, EQ, what it's called,
right,
on a team, the team IQ increases dramatically.
I think I read the same study. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. It was more important than
intellectual. Yes, exactly. And another aspect of it, which wasn't related, but still it's kind of interesting, the more women were on the team, that was part of the same study.
Yes.
The
yes.
higher emotional acuity.
Actually, I think that was an article in the Wall Street Journal
just last week. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember I read it just recently.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It was fascinating, and it was stressing the emotional IQ, and it was stressing the addition of women
yes.
to the team.
Exactly. And maybe our Silicon Valley will listen to this and take heed that they really do need to bring more women in on their teams of designers and programmers. Exactly. So, and then there was another dimension to the program, and that is mindset for success.
That's your fourth module?
The fourth module is mindset for success. I feel that success doesn't happen by accident. It certainly is a strategy. Absolutely strategy. And elite athletes have figured it out a long time ago. I was a competitive figure skater. So I remember how we used to condition ourselves, how we used to play in our mind our performances and imagine yourself that you're making that spin in the air and landing just perfectly. It was complete replay. So in my mind, meditation, this form of meditation, and especially with the amount of internal energy that it's unleashes, it's kind of melting the structures, this old conditioned structures of the brain. It creates that mind that becomes more fluid, more pliant.
Okay.
And then we apply mindset for success, this kind of like conditioning, mental conditioning. So it's on one hand, people do affirmations and they do mental conditioning, and then they complain that it doesn't work. Well, the reason it doesn't work because their mind is too stuck. It's too hardened. It's hardened. It's programmed. And what we do in this program, we soften it up first. We loosen it up with this form of meditation. This energy opens up the mind. And then we apply mental conditioning and mindset for success to that.
So you're going way beyond sort of the athletic art of visualization of
absolutely.
Yeah, that's not,
oh, no.
Not it at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're looking with our clients to discover what is it that their purposes, their personal purposes, what is their business purposes. It might be that logically, that intellectually they thought of it in a certain way. But once they start meditating, they gain a different perspective. They gain a wiser, they like upgrading the chip. Mm-hmm. Literally upgrading the chip.
Upgrading the chip. Okay, I like that.
And applying this mental conditioning, it's kind of like upgrading the operating system of the mind. So on one hand, you upgrade the chip, and you may have a very advanced hardware, but if there is no software to run on it, it's not going to show you any benefit of performance. So we need to create a new software, and the mindset for success, this is like philosophies and strategies that we're teaching for individuals and companies as businesses to succeed applying to this new expanded mind.
It sounds like, if I understand it right, that all four of your modules, they build on one another. That it wouldn't really be appropriate to just pull one out and think that was the solution. Is that right? Or
I would say so. If you would want to pull one out, I would say I've done some individual modules, which it is just a team building with improv.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. It is definitely beneficial, but it's kind of just kind of put one toe in. The key module here is certainly this focused meditation.
Sure, it's bringing and that other energy to bear.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is the key. If you would want to isolate anything, that would be the one. But then again, what are you going to do with all this energy? So the way to apply it through mindfulness and through, of course, teaching people how to strategize for success, how to visualize, how to create the sustainable growth on a permanent basis, which is exponentially. That's the key. The challenge, the biggest challenge I see is that companies are not willing to change their culture, because this truly is kind of like a new culture. The successful companies always know that in order to stay ahead of the time, they need to be open to change.
Yes.
And cultural change is one of those. I have learned it from the times when I was helping corporations to move from conventional systems to object-oriented systems and networking systems. It required a different culture.
So help me here, because culture has become such a throwaway term. Everybody uses it to explain everything. When you say a company to use this has to change their culture, what are you talking about that they have to change? What do they have to let go of? What do they have to adopt?
For example, in companies that we implement Diamond Mind training, what we do, we conduct the seminars, the training that actually trains individuals and everybody in the company, whoever wants to participate, who wants to grow. But then we also set up special meditation rooms where, you see, like everybody at their home, they have families, they may have an opportunity to practice meditation in the morning, they may not. But if they come to work, culture, that's corporate culture, where there is a place where they could retreat and they could practice this form of meditation there. Okay. So they're trained, and then the company provides, it could be just one private conference room where people can do it. That's how Google implements it. They have a series of private conference rooms that are dedicated to that. The same what Facebook is doing and a lot of other companies. That's exactly what they're doing. Also, there are people in the companies who are introverts, who are extroverts. I personally feel that we need to respect both. And it's nice to have individual space where people can just work quietly and be focused and productive if that's what works best for them. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, it's nice to have what some companies call public square or public plaza.
Yes.
Where it's pretty much like Starbucks. Everybody is there. People can network. People can share problems with each other, business problems, so solutions that they are seeking answers to. So people interact from different layers, different areas of business. So let's say a systems designer could be interacting with mail delivery people, because everybody have slightly different perspective and different form of wisdom.
Yes.
And they share these problems together. So it, you know, at one company, actually two companies I implemented that, Board of Trade and Options Co. Incorporation in Chicago, we were developing such a brand new system, and we had a pilot kind of experimental group that we put together through my training. We dedicated like a war room where we would do the design throughout the week. But once a week, we would have everybody from the company, not just this elite group of people who were doing this bleeding edge design. Everybody were welcome into this room. And we were explaining our design, and we were sharing with them what we were doing. As a result, we got a lot of very valuable feedback, ideas from people from all levels of these organizations.
We could keep going, couldn't we? You just got me interested. Well, look, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we do two things. One is I want to make sure people know how to get a hold of you. So let's take care of that. How do people get in touch with you, find out where you are, find out more about your programs?
Well, my name is very easy. It's Mila Diamond. And you can find me on LinkedIn profile, Mila Diamond. You can find me on my website, miladiamond.com or diamondmindinternational.com. It comes to the same website. Or they can email me at mila@miladiamond.com.
Okay, it's pretty simple. And Mila is just like it sounds, M-I-L-A.
M-I-L-A.
Yeah. And your website is fascinating. By the way, people should take a look at your website. There's lots of just great information there. I enjoyed visiting it. Thank you.
If there is only 1 second, I would like to add something. There is a very interesting project that we're just beginning, and we're very excited about it. And that is, we're going to bring Diamond Mind training into our schools.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What level?
At the middle school and high school.
Okay.
And we are talking to a series of charter schools in Los Angeles right now who are very interested in our project and our program. And it's Diamond Mind Youth. If there are any of our listeners who would be interested to see what this project is about, there is a page on our website, milodiamond.com, and there is youth page, and okay. They could see that, but it's fascinating. We're teaching exactly these four modules to kids.
Has this already started, Mila, or is this just in the process of starting?
It's in the process of starting, okay. And we're very excited, but there were some very successful experiments with that, with meditation done in San Francisco schools, and kids made tremendous progress. They basically gave it a try in the failing San Francisco schools. They had no choice. They were losing kids to violence and to teen pregnancies. And within 4 years, these schools became some of the best schools in San Francisco.
And this was your form of focus meditation?
No, it was just traditional meditation. Even that made a difference. Huh. But I'm just saying, what we do is even better.
Well, it certainly has me interested. Well, look, I want to thank you for joining us today, and thank you for being with us and sharing your enthusiasm for what you do. And welcome to being a part of the Coaching Perspective radio community.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you. Have a great evening. Well, look, you've heard it right here today. Another great takeaway day, another great opportunity to stick your feet in the water in an area that maybe you're not familiar with, learn something new, and see how it can help your business or your coaching practice. Mila's an easy person to talk to, so I would encourage you to get in touch with her, and she's more than willing to share her knowledge and her experience with you. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, I just want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for our other shows. Maybe, you know, we have all great guests, today's and other ones. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, or HR professionals to interview. Just send an email to me, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, hopefully we've given you some new information that you can put to use immediately to reach your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.